This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. We have a budget. Michigan lawmakers worked past 5 a.m. Thursday morning to pass an $82.5 billion spending plan after keeping much of the proposals behind closed doors as late as possible.
Are you tired, Alethea?
I am so very tired.
Well, I mean, you would think that for a trifecta government, passing a budget would be a quick endeavor, but it was clearly not. There were several sticking points that everyone needed to hash out into those wee hours. Alethea, can you walk us through some of those?
Yes, let's get into the weeds here. So the main sticking point was the K through 12 budget. You know, for the first time in a long time, lawmakers will not be able to boast record spending in that budget, in large part due to federal funds sort of running out. But as we have talked about here before, there was also disagreement about diverting funds from retirement health care. In the end, Democratic leadership decided to use the extra funding in that retirement health care fund to lower what schools pay from their pockets. So this leads to more funding in the classroom, but they still did this in lieu of a traditional per pupil funding increase for public schools. So in that line item, it'll say no increase in per pupil funding, $0, which school groups were like, no, we don't like this. They generally wanted both a per pupil funding increase and to pay less into the fund. So they weren't happy about that portion of the budget. But in the end, both very teacher-friendly Democratic caucuses voted yes on this plan, and they are highlighting the $600 million that it frees up for schools, which is more than the per pupil funding increases that were previously entertained but did not come to fruition this year.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that there's two major packages here, the education budget and the general spending budget. And the education spending plan passed on party lines. But I'm so curious. There was one Republican that voted in the Senate for the general spending plan. Who was this line crosser?
So this was Senator Ed McBroom of Vulcan, who is from the Upper Peninsula. So he voted yes on the spending plan for the State Department and agencies. And this is an absolutely huge budget proposal. So there could have been, you know, a lot of things that he liked in there that ended up meaning, hey, I'm going to vote yes on this. Republicans in the Senate, notably, also provided the votes needed for immediate effect, which is necessary because the budget takes effect in October, and it was an open question heading even late into the night if they would provide those votes given, you know, the disagreement in K through 12. In general, though, Republicans were still very critical of the budget. They said Democrats didn't negotiate with them and are spending irresponsibly, particularly, again, with the K through 12 retirement funds.
The usual. But the budget moving this week, while that's the biggest news of the hour, the state capitals saw even more news to keep all of the reporters nice and busy. In the flurry of activity around the budget, the Senate passed for the first time in a decade bills expanding the Freedom of Information Act to the legislature and the executive office. These bills won't be finalized until likely the fall, but this is quite huge. The House also passed legislation, which also isn't final, to expand the duration someone can receive unemployment benefits from 20 weeks to 26 weeks. Lawmakers, they were very busy during their very, very late night this week.
After the lightest first few months of the year we have seen in some time, they certainly decided to move at the last minute. And that wasn't even all the news. The Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission also approved its maps for the Detroit area Senate seats. So these were being done under court order, and now they have a new map that the court can accept or reject next month. So a quick upshot here, Detroit is mostly split into three districts rather than eight. And from a partisan sort of competitive standpoint, it's pretty comparable to the maps we saw during the 2022 election, though there were still some significant geographical changes in how commissioners split up these seats. So definitely a lot to break down in the weeks ahead there.
We're going to take a short break here, but stick around because we are going to be back with Monique Stanton from the Michigan League for Public Policy to dig even deeper into the state budget. You're not going to want to miss it. Come back here right after this break.
New from The Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasbin. We're joined now by Monique Stanton, President and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. Thanks for joining us today, Monique.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are taping this at around 10:30 on Thursday, June 27th, and I timestamp this because we just finished a very, very long night. The legislature has passed a budget. Monique, what are you most excited about getting passed?
So for us, the thing that we're probably the most excited about is TANF reform. The TANF is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. It's our cash assistance program. It's one of our biggest tools to help alleviate poverty. We have not raised the payments for cash assistance in a number of years. We have some of the most restricted lifetime limits in TANF. And so we're really excited to see some of that expansion in the 2025 budget take place.
Can you talk a little bit more about this extension in those lifetime limits and what,
sure,
you know, that means for families in Michigan? I believe you said this was the first change since 2008.
Yeah,
you know,
first change since 2008.
Yeah, it's a very long time. It seems significant.
Right. It's significant. And the world has changed so significantly since 2008. So lifetime limits, there's a federal requirement to have lifetime limits. I think it's a total of 60. Michigan had more restrictive requirements than the federal mandate. And our lifetime limits were for 48 months total, so 4 years. So these are going to get boosted up to that total of 60 months of payments. And I think that's really important because if somebody is facing, let's say, a crisis, maybe they're having some kind of lost their job or really struggling to make ends meet, living in poverty, maybe are eligible for unemployment, it gives them an opportunity to help meet their most basic needs. We have high rates of poverty in Michigan, and so that's especially why we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to help improve the social safety net.
What parts of the budget do you find lacking? I mean, is there anything that didn't pass that you were really hoping for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say that there was some really good stuff around education, but we would have liked to see the foundational allowance increased. We're excited about the equitable school funding boost, but that lack of increase in the foundational allowance is something we would have wanted to see. We would have also liked to see some of those increases that were made last year for mental health funding in schools to be continued. And there was a pretty significant reduction in that. So that would be overall two of our concerns. But besides that, there were some really big wins, I think, last night in our budget.
You know, this teacher retirement, the whole K-12 budget, you know, was really interesting. We saw, you know, a lot of groups that generally are friendly to the Democrats sort of come together. You know, in essence, what happened here is instead of doing a per pupil increase, the legislature said, you know, we're going to decrease what you pay into this other, into this retirement healthcare fund. So do you think, you know, why is that not exactly the same as a per pupil increase?
So I think if you see a pure per pupil increase, that's an increase, then you'll see that in future years. So there is a concern that we're not increasing the overall base amount of funding that we're providing to schools. I do think to see that some of those smaller increases in the equitable weights are important. We do believe that people who are living in concentrated poverty, who are English language learners, have you need special education services. We're excited about some of those boosts. But again, that per pupil foundational allowance really helps to lift up all Michiganders. In Michigan, we have some really concerning data that came out in the last couple of weeks around children and the well-being of children, specifically through Kids Count in Michigan. Michigan ranks 34th in the country for overall child well-being. And what's very alarming is that we rank 41st in the nation for education. And so really making sure that we're doing everything that we can to help boost educational outcomes and support teachers and support kids is of utmost importance.
So has the league taken a position on the state's economic development strategy? I mean, is the Democratic approach working? Do you have any thoughts on the proposal that is still floating out there that would provide a decade of funding for corporate incentives, but also for things like transit and community improvements?
Right. So we haven't taken a formal position on the SOAR package or the economic development package. We are optimistic about those investments in transit, those investments in housing, but do have some concern around some of the economic incentives. We also have some concerns, so we haven't necessarily taken a formal position yet on things like the tax credits for films and some of the data center work. We really need to make sure that we're looking at our total revenue projections, and we really want to make sure that we have enough revenue to address poverty, to address racial disparities, to address things that are really pressing for Michiganders.
I'm going to jump, you know, back to K through 12 here a little bit. The state's universal breakfast and lunch program for students, you know, this was continued in the budget this year. You know, are you seeing benefits from this already? And, you know, why is this important for students?
So this was actually one of our priorities at the League. We were a longtime advocate for free universal lunches. And there's a lot of good reason and evidence around that. Kids are going to learn better if they are fed and are coming to school fed. They're not hungry. So 17.6% of kids under the age of 18 live in households that really struggle to afford basic necessities. 41% of all Michigan households struggle to afford basic necessities or are living in poverty. And that's sort of referred to as the ALICE threshold, so asset limited, income constrained, and employed. That 41% also includes people that are not unemployed. So 41% of all Michiganders are struggling to make ends meet. And that's kids that are going to school. That includes lots of families with young children. And so making sure that kids have food is, I think, really an essential thing.
Amidst all this chaos that has been going on with the budget, the state house managed to vote on a few things. They voted to expand unemployment benefits from the current 20 weeks to 26 weeks. Obviously, this is not a done deal yet, but Republicans and business groups say this is a government overreach and it would cost too much. What are your thoughts on this potential expansion?
So we have been a longtime supporter of expanding our unemployment insurance. We want to make sure that people who have lost their job have the time that they need to find a good paying job and help get themselves back on their feet. Most people don't actually take that full amount of weeks that they're eligible for, but we want to make sure that it's there in case people need it. So I think that's a good win for our state. It's a good win for workers in Michigan and really giving people the opportunity to get good paying jobs and find something that maybe was similar to a job that they lost.
A big legislative issue that the League has really been championing is the paid family leave proposal that Governor Whitmer floated last year. You know, this has not seen a lot of action or public discussion in the legislature. Can you talk about, you know, why this is, you know, a good policy that lawmakers should move forward on?
So the reality is almost everybody in their life is going to need paid family medical leave. A lot of times we think about paid family leave as being parental leave. That's a big, important part of it. You know, if you have a baby, are adopting a child, fostering a child, you need time to, one, heal and recover, but also take care and bond with that child. But also, if your child is severely sick and maybe gets, you know, your parents' worst nightmare, has cancer, your spouse or your partner gets critically ill, or you yourself are you know, have to have a major operation, or you're a caretaker for an elder in your family, you shouldn't be risking family insecurity. And so paid family leave really helps address economic security in Michigan and helps make sure that people are able to make ends meet while they're facing some of the most difficult things in their lives. And so we're a long, big proponent of paid family leave. It would be run like an insurance program. It's similar to what other states have done. You know, a lot of times the business community pre-implementation of paid family leave programs has a lot of angst about what happens. There's excellent data that post-implementation from other states that they're excited about, or maybe not excited about it, but they don't see a negative impact. They're supportive of it. They don't have as many of the concerns that they were originally discussing or concerned about don't come to fruition. The other thing that I think is important to call out and recognize is that post the murder of George Floyd in 2020, lots of organizations and business groups made bold statements about we are committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're committed to racial justice. And really where you see that is in policy and how is policy impacting racial justice? Black and brown women specifically are disproportionately left out of paid family leave programs. And so from the business community, I would say we want to challenge if the business community wants to make big, bold statements around commitments to racial equity, it's time to put that into practice and support things like paid family leave.
Has the league engaged in conversations with lawmakers on this? I mean, what we've heard is sort of a general agreement, but no real action. Why don't you think Democrats are moving on this?
So I think part of it is that an actuarial study is supposed to come out later this summer, potentially early fall. And so really taking a look at what the economic impact will be in Michigan and what the cost will be. Other states that have implemented paid family leave, really that actuarial study is really helpful in making sure that gets over the finish line. So we're really excited about those numbers. So as I think part of why it's been sort of on the back burner. There are also many organizations, you know, we're an advocate for it, Mothering Justice, A Better Balance, some healthcare organizations are supportive of paid family leave. One of the things as an employer, you know, nonprofits are employers as well as advocates, is that if there is an insurance program at the state that I can as an employer rely on, then that insurance program is paying that individual's wages, and I can use those dollars potentially to help offset, maybe pay for a temp or give somebody overtime or a bonus to help cover that workflow while that person's out on leave. So I really see that from a business perspective as also something that's positive.
So looking forward maybe many months here, are you hopeful that paid family leave could see action by the end of 2024? And, you know, is there anything else on a policy wish list for the league by the end of the year?
Yeah, so paid family leave, I would say at this point, is one of our number one priorities, and I'm hopeful that it's going to see some action. We have some recent polling data that 63% either strongly favor or somewhat favor a paid family leave policy in Michigan. So it's really showing that there's some good support for this, and it's something that, you know, has support on both sides of the aisle. So that's one of our big priorities. We also really would like to see the expansion of something like a child tax credit or growth in something like cash transfers for families. So RX Kids, that's something we haven't talked about. It's a cash transfer payment program that was launched in Flint by Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha and Professor Luke Schaefer. They've been advocating for cash payments for moms in that child's first year of life, as well as a payment while a person's in their last trimester of pregnancy. And there's some dollars in the state budget, $20 million, to help expand that initiative. We'd love to see more movement around how can we use cash to help address economic security in Michigan.
Monique Stanton, thank you so much for joining us here on Mishmash.
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks again to our guest, Monique Stanton from the Michigan League for Public Policy. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts.
So tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. You can learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.